You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There we are. Let's try again, shall we? Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. So yeah, welcome back. Pleased to have your company once again. And yeah, we're once again very happy for this episode of the podcast. What, 9 games in and we're sitting pretty at the top of the championship. A little bit clear now of second and a nice gap opening up between ourselves and fourth place. And we're happy. And I'm doing this introduction for the second time, by the way. I'm trying to remember it word for word because I did it and said hello to all the boys and realized I hadn't pressed record. It has recorded this time. So Jack, I'm going to ask you the exact same question I put to you an entire 2 minutes ago. How are you? You said you were a little bit tired because you did the marathon this weekend.
I'm even more tired now. I've had to do this a second time.
Was that a better first or second time?
I think you've warmed up a little bit. I'm a bit tired, and obviously didn't see the game because I was running, so I might not be able to offer a huge amount in terms of football analysis this evening. But Rick and Jordan have both seen the game, so they can walk us through it. Mm.
Yes. So okay, then we'll come to Jordan. You okay, mate? How are you?
I'm probably slightly fresher than you two. But yeah, I'm very well. Thanks, mate. And congratulations on I think I read the other day that under 1% of the world's population has run a marathon. And 3 of us have done it in the last 2 weeks. So
when they say that, do I have to have ran the whole way?
Well, you completed it. That's enough, isn't it? I think.
I mean, Jack ran the whole way. I didn't. So, I mean, thank you for the congratulations.
And, yeah, it was Jake, it was you look sensational in all the photos despite not running. So, joke's on me, really, isn't it?
But this is the funny thing, because we were running, right? And obviously, you pay beforehand if you want for the photographs. And so I did it because there was a deal. It was cheaper. And we're about, I can't remember how many kilometers in. I said to Jack, have you seen any photographers yet? Because, you know, it's really busy. He's like, no. But there seemed to be a lot more photographers on the second half of the race when I was walking than in the first half. But so the pictures I've shared, like, it's the funny one is that, yeah, I look good, but equally at that point, I'm supposed to be running and I'm not. Like, that's not at the end of the race or at the start of the race. That's during the race and I'm posing because I'm walking. So yeah, I would much rather Jack have done your time and ran the whole way than got a couple of nice pictures for Instagram when I should have been.
Well, yeah, but you also put a photo up that's not of you. It's just a nice picture of Cologne that you didn't take.
I haven't claimed that to be mine. What the bird's eye view of Cologne.
Yeah.
I didn't think people would think that was me that took that, to be honest. But yeah. Anyway, I mean, legs, are you fine? You're a little bit like tired and sort of run down, whereas I'm hobbling around with sore hips and knees like an old man just making noises.
Yeah, I can walk. I had a hot bath today, not a cold bath, actually. But I did that because I think I've got a cold now. So, which may be why I sound slightly bunged up. But my legs are all right, actually. I mean, I don't think I'll be running again for a fair bit of time. But I've been able to walk around. Stairs are not very good.
No.
It's a good job that my banister's quite firm. Sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it? But yeah, I've been leaning on that heavily getting downstairs. So,
Rick, did you watch the game on Sunday? Please say you did.
I did. Yeah, I did, boys. You can be rest assured. I won't be doing a marathon. So, you know, I'm in the 99% and proud to be in it. You weirdos. No, well done, boys. It's a massive achievement. I'm proud of you all. And to do it on foreign shores as well, without the comforts of, you know, beans and little sausages before and after is, even more impressive.
Rick, it's funny you should say that, because I had a nightmare getting there and back. But I did say the one thing I cannot wait to go home to is beans on toast and a cup of tea. Well, I think you do a marathon, 26 pints. 26.2 pints.
Yeah, I'm one of the most disgraceful drinkers on the planet. 2.6 pints, more like. I did watch the game, which we'll come on to. I'm still mulling over whether we actually were any good or not. For large patches of it, we weren't. But I also think teams now are having to play so well against us, give everything they've got, and yet we'll just hit them on the counter now. I feel like we're slowly turning from, we are still a possession-based team, but we're now devastating on the counter. And I think teams are starting to lose their discipline against us, which is what we want to see, because the low block and digging in is frustrating, isn't it? But the longer it goes on, if they take their eye off it, we'll rip them apart. And, you know, in the end, the scoreline made it very comfortable, which it perhaps wasn't. But, roll on. What about just one further question back to Cologne?
Yes,
saw a picture do the rounds of an establishment that had a sign with very red lights and looked like a bit like a boudoir. Anything to say on that, Jake?
Your face laughing away. No, so context, I didn't have the greatest of preparations for the marathon, which I'm in no way blaming for my performance on the day. But somehow I managed to book myself into a hotel different to Jack's, because I thought the one that Jack and his wife was in, it was quite expensive. So I thought, you know, I'll put myself in a different one. And Jordan, as you know, when we go away, I like to do that, put myself in a different hotel. I like my own space. But for some strange reason, and this is genuine, I didn't check like the name of the hotel. And I know that sounds really weird to say now. All I did was I checked the location, wanted to be within walking distance of the start line, and it to be a decent price. Tick, tick, booked it. Rocked up, and my hotel was called Goldfingers. Oh dear. I'm trying to explain.
Was there any finger in?
No, not of any kind, of any sort, Rick. Not at all. But obviously I arrived in the afternoon, and at this point I just thought I can then gone through my emails. I can see that Goldfingers is described as a party hotel. I was thinking, fuck, what have I done? And the whole street I'm on is just full of bars. So I go in, obviously, I voice note Jack immediately to tell him what I've done. Look out my window, and there's a giant Goldfinger sign. I realise I've let myself, well, not sure what I've let myself in for at this point, but it's not going to be good. So anyway, go for a drink with Jack. And then by this point, it's obviously getting a little bit later. walk back to the hotel, if that's what you want to call it, and things were starting to get lively. At this point, downstairs at Goldfinger, there was now a red carpet going to the doorway with a couple of big security guys and some rope. And it was a nightclub, is Goldfinger. And my room was above said nightclub, and the window overlooking arguably the busiest street in Cologne on a Friday evening. So I got the grand total of about 2 hours sleep the night before a marathon. And yeah, that was Goldfinger's.
Oh, superb.
Not my smartest decision. And yeah, so once I went to then go back to the room after seeing Jack, as I walk in, because it was like a hotel kind of, I don't know, it was a shared thing.
Doesn't sound like a hotel.
No, I'm quite clearly using the term hotel very lightly. But there was like three rooms within this apartment. I walk in, and then there's these three girls in this apartment, and they're all drinking, music blaring out. And obviously they see me as I walk in, and they ask me if I want to join them for a drink. I'm like, obviously, no, I'm not going to, you know, do the marathon tomorrow and all that. But yeah, not until every bar closed down whatever street that was on, did I sleep. So yeah, Goldfinger, if anybody wants to have a night out in Cologne, I recommend highly that street. If you're running a marathon and you want a good night's sleep beforehand, not Goldfinger.
Yeah. To Jack's.
Yes. I mean, Jack had a swimming pool and a spa and everything. I think I should have just paid the money and put myself in a proper hotel instead of what sounded like a brothel. But I cannot stress enough, it was not a brothel. It was just not quite a hotel. But anyway, yeah, so that was part of my weekend. Sunday night was fine, slept wonderfully. Although I do have a couple of bites on my arm.
Oh dear, what happened?
Well, suspicious looking ones, like the kind of thing you'd get off a mattress you shouldn't have trusted.
Oh no.
Maybe. I don't know. So anyway. Any more questions about Goldfinger?
Not about Goldfinger, but I want to say thank you to Rick for sending me voice notes whilst I was running the marathon. Because he was keeping me going, because I kept voice noting to ask what the score was. He didn't actually tell me what the score was, but just came back with nonsense that kept me going.
I did video call the group at about 14K, and neither of you answered. And I said I was
going to
do it.
Yeah, I told you to ring me back, and you didn't. I did get a bit concerned about you, Jake, because Jack was obviously messaging. And then a bit later on, I was like, I've not seen any message from Jake in hours. And even at the end, I think there must have been a couple that I must have missed because obviously the game was still on or towards the end. And I was like, Jake's all right. And Jack hadn't made reference to you either. And I wasn't concerned.
He was laying down on the finish line.
He was back
line,
up the brothel.
Yeah.
No, I obviously I was a little bit behind Jack, but when I got to the finish, there's obviously a lovely red carpet and I was flat out laid on my back. Not the only one, a few people were obviously doing it. And then we were being asked to move by the, not security, but you know what I mean, the stewards or whatever at the end. Obviously in German, I'm trying to explain to them, I can't. You know, I am honestly in agony. I think I just about managed to gesticulate that I will move, but he's going to have to help me up and move me, basically. So yeah, I did a lot of that and it took quite a while to then get to where Jack was after repeatedly sitting down. Walking about 2 yards and then sitting back down again. So yeah, no, I was just quite a long way behind Jack and clearly suffered a lot more than him. So yeah, but I was okay, but thanks for the concern. But I didn't listen to any of the voice notes. I was honestly...
Didn't need it, did you? You just powered on.
Do you know what I was, Rich, do you know what I was doing? From about 30 kilometers when I was on my own, I was listening to the Serial Killer podcast.
Fair play to you, mate.
I just thought I listened to a podcast and that's what I was doing, all about some Canadian serial killer. So, you know, that's what got me through it, sort of.
Looking for a bit of inspiration for ours. We're going to have a little serial killer corner where we talk about our favourite psychopath.
Oh, yeah, yeah. maybe another time. Right, let's actually talk about football, not about our marathon and our weekend. So again, similarly to Jack, not able to watch the game, but have obviously seen extended highlights. I mean, I was very much impressed with what I saw. And I know that lots of people have said, yeah, maybe weren't that good, and the scoreline makes it look a lot better, but the quality of the goals were just outstanding. I think we've mentioned before that, you know, you can be like that as long as you're solid, because you've got those moments of quality which will continually see you score goals. And the quality of Vardy's goal, outstanding. Same with Dewsbury Hall. Wout Fez, very, very good. And of course, then the penalty. I mean, Hermansson with their goal, it's a bit of a shocker, to be honest, from him, which he needs to learn from. You know, you can play this high-risk strategy, but you just kind of need to dial it down a little bit. But we got away with it, and obviously very, very comfortable. Preston losing badly at the weekend. They, of course, now play us. And then I think their game after that is Ipswich as well. So a real tough run for them. I think the league table will start to form shape, and I'm very, very confident that Leicester aren't going to move outside that top two. What did we think of Wilfred Ndidi, because he was man of the match, Jordan, and I feel like, well, obviously it's absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I slagged him off. I don't say slagged him off. I just said I just didn't see him as a attacking advanced midfielder. I said that he was the sticking out like a sore thumb in the system. That's what I said. But since then, like in an attacking sense, Jordy's been absolutely brilliant. And again, everything kind of that I saw from the highlights, he was involved in, like in an attacking sense, really good again.
Yeah, I'm still not entirely convinced of Wilf in that role. But one thing I would say is, looking at Cassaday's latest couple of games, I don't really feel like we've got much alternative. Eunice looks like he's going to be a promising player. But, I mean, fair play to Ndidi. He's still learning a different role from what he's used to playing. And his pass for Vardy's goal was exceptional. That said, the finish was... the touch and the finish was even better. It made it look like a better pass than it was, if that makes sense, because we scored. There was one time, maybe half in the second half, he broke through into the penalty box. He did two step overs and I think he trod on the ball. And I thought, he's getting a bit carried away with himself now. But yeah, a fair play to him. I mean, I still don't think he's the answer in that position. But that said, the level we're playing at, him alongside Dewsbury Hall, who's been magnificent recently, and Winks is good enough to hold on his own. It kind of, I guess, gives him a bit more freedom. And he's definitely got the legs and the energy to get up and down in both boxes. I know Enzo kind of plays 2/8, as they say these days, rather than a 10. And I think, yeah, indeed, KDH and Winks is the three. Cassaday's contribution from a starting role has been pretty disappointing, although I think he just needs to get used to the speed of the game, because he's been used mainly as a substitute so far. And Eunice looks promising, so maybe he'll find himself playing down the middle rather than out wide, although now McAteer's injured, we may see Eunice play out wide again. But as I say, fair play to Wilf. Like, he's learning on the job. What is it, 9 league games and a 3 League Cup games, so he's still kind of new to the role, and he's not done himself any harm, put it that way.
I mean, it always helps when you're winning games of football in terms of the enjoyment factor, Rick. But one thing I've noticed is with Wilf, the enjoyment's back. We've seen the videos and his goofy laugh in the background. We've seen Kelechi, who we know those two are as thick as thieves, like quite literally. Him now with this dance celebration. And I just feel that those two, they're kind of their vibes, aren't they? They're just the people who, when they're happy, everyone kind of feeds off that energy. And last year that kind of wasn't there, was it? Which is kind of an indication that the camp wasn't happy. I mean, maybe I'm just reading kind of too much into it, but I look at those two and it looks like the same energy as from a couple of years ago. And for me, that indicates that the team is a lot happier. I mean,
you're right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think I said it last week that those two, I didn't. I think you asked me whether I believed that Ndidi and Iheanacho never wanted to leave. And I said, with those two, I'm actually not sure that they do. They just seem happy to just piss about down the training ground. And, you know, last season they were probably still doing that. But, you know, in that environment, you'd actually question why they're doing it and weren't getting the heads down. But they do look like they're enjoying it. And Diddy especially. George sort of right in what he's saying there. I think since the international break, since they've come back, and Diddy's been exceptional. Whether, you know, that role that he's in long term, whether he can get better and better and play that consistently, certainly in the Premier League, not sure. But right now, drop down in class, he's more than capable of, you know, goals and assists. But it's probably more than that for the system. He's winning the ball high up the pitch. You know, he's an elite ball winner. 2, 3, 4 years ago, there was no one better bar Kante. And I think even then, Kante's game had moved on a little bit and Wilf was just a destroyer winning it. He's doing that again, less so, but he's doing it further up the pitch, which is such an asset. We don't bombard the press, but we do it in phases. And if you've got someone like that being able to win the ball high up, you know, his energy levels are fantastic, which for someone who's suffered with injuries on and off for the last 2, 3 years, it's good to see. So I thought he was man of the match yesterday. I didn't see the Bristol City game. Jack said last weekend that he was brilliant then as well. So he's in a rich vein of form. And yeah, Casadei's obviously struggled in the few starts. I thought he came on yesterday. Okay, again, we won 4-1. You go through like, oh, he did well when he came out. Casadei, he looked like he did come in and he was a bit more, you know, zipping about the place, won the ball a bit. So hopefully we can continue to play well and Casadei can come in and at least start to contribute, a bit like Eunice has done, because he started against Hull, looked quite mediocre, and that was probably being kind to him. And then since then, he's actually started to quietly go about his business, and two assists in his last two games. That weighted pass to Dewsbury Hall was magnificent. So, yeah, it's all good at the minute. But I'm glad that the characters are enjoying themselves and trying to sort of get everyone on board.
So, obviously, you were keeping Jack up to date with the score as we were running. And it was the first thing I did once I had the energy to lift my phone out of my little pouch, whatever you run with, to check the score, and then message Jack and said, have you seen the Leicester score? Yep. You'll be pleased to know as well, lads, you know when you run through tunnels and it echoes everything? When I was running through the tunnels, I was shouting Leicester during the marathon. Not for the second half, but the first half I did. But Jack, when I saw the starting lineup, and I thought first was I really, really liked the look of that team. And then also the bench, it's the first time I really looked at the team and the bench and thought, wow, in terms of like the level of quality and the depth that we've got in that team. And I always thought, I always said that we wouldn't solve the problems at the top of the club, but in terms of playing personnel, we just have far too much this year and we would get promoted and relatively comfortably so. And I'm still absolutely of that way of thinking. But so much is made of the Maresca possession style football. But to me, it seems like we're at our best when we're on the counter. It wasn't just the Blackburn game. There's been numerous examples of it that actually this can maybe go under the radar a little bit, that we're being built as a possession style team. But actually, we're still at our best. If you kind of go back all those years when we were winning things, we were a counter-attacking team. And we appear to be re-finding elements of that again.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say. I think I've said previously, I just like the way that we don't really have one way of playing. I know there's this sort of, we play out from the back, but we don't always play out from the back. If we can break quickly, we will break quickly. And yeah, a lot of it's based around possession, but we're tiring teams out massively when we're doing that, which creates a space later in the games. It's still not a coincidence for me that we score late on in games, because teams are knackered. And I think the other bit as well that I think you touched on there, I mean, yes, it's a different level to the Premier League, but I think the drop off from, you know, like the likes of, we take Fatu off and bring McAteer on, and then you bring Eunice on, I don't think there's a huge drop off in terms of quality there. And, you know, even we haven't even mentioned Dennis Pratt, who's out for ages, but I think, you know, he's another player that can come back in. We've got Cannon as well. Like the strength in depth of the squad actually is pretty amazing at this level. I don't, you know, there aren't that many players that I would say would be standout at Premier League levels, but there's a lot of players that wouldn't be too far off, which I think doesn't really get in the conversation when people talk about the quality of our squad. I think there's just a lot of very good players, and I think that's knackering teams out, and then we're scoring late on. I mean, the other player as well, when you said you saw the starting lineup and thought it looked really strong. I mean, Vestergaard again sounds like he had another very good game, and it's a shame. I'm actually disappointed he can't play on Wednesday night now. Although we've got Cody to come in, who, yeah, you know, everyone thought would be starting and captain. So again, it shows the quality we've got. So yeah, I agree with you. I love the way we just mix it up. We'll go long if we need to, and if there's space, it's all about just finding space on the pitch. It's not necessarily about playing it short the whole time. If there's space, they'll go and attack it.
And so there will have to be another rejig, not just because the games are coming thick and fast, which they are, you know, midweek games at the moment coming. But as we mentioned last week, as people will know, the Callum Doyle injury, now an update on that one. Am I right in saying it's going to be about 3 months, Callum, which in some ways is actually not the worst news, because when you talk about knee and bad injuries, you fear it's ACL and it's out for the season. So anyway, Callum's out for a little while. Mentioned now Vestergaard with that suspension, and then Casey McAteer putting up with a hamstring injury, which again, we don't know the diagnosis, but you'd think at least a month, potentially more. But we are fortunate that we have got those changes in there. I mean, Jordan, on Vestergaard, it is an interesting one. I'm pretty sure I read a stat early on today that he made the most passes in the game against Blackburn than anyone in any single game this season in the Championship. Now, I know that doesn't always mean the most. I think I saw a stat last season that Danny Lamarty was up there in terms of passes, but it was just because he was passing it backwards and forwards to whoever he was playing centre-half with last season. But Yannick has been solid. And for me, he's been getting better with each game. I mean, I wasn't sure still at the start, but he appears to now be growing in confidence, and the people around him appeared to be kind of getting confidence within him. But I do just wonder, because he's in a bit of a sticky spot here, because he is now going to lose his place for midweek against Preston with Connor Cody coming back in. And then you can't help but feel that Connor Cody will keep his place in that side, because I think he is the long-term guy who's been earmarked as the captain. And you would imagine, Jordan, that through no fault of his own, Yannick may lose his place in the team, which feels a really strange thing to say. But those were the words that came out of my mouth.
Yeah, I actually thought Vestergaard was our best player yesterday. His main weakness is the ball over the top or in behind the fullbacks. And when he turns, he can't turn, he's too slow.
No.
But I think Enzo's done really well to combat that, because it felt like at the start of the season, we were almost going man for man with Fez and Vestergaard against Norwich and Blackburn, the last two away games, and, you know, obviously Liverpool as well, but you're going to do that anyway. We seem to be defending deeper as a unit, and the fashionable term is low block these days, but we've got more bodies behind the ball and a deeper line, which kind of prevents Vestergaard from getting turned. He's still not won me over, mainly because of the things that he said about the football club and the sort of delusions he has about what level he can play at. I think this is about his level, to be honest. But there were times on Sunday where he bizarrely, from Blackburn, he just stood on the ball and was just stood still for quite a period of time, and more than once. And due to the way we play, you're going to have to press him. You have to. We were winning, and their fans were actually booing Blackburn for just sitting off. Once they started pressing, we could just play it round them. And like Jack says, and Rick said, you know, we look lethal on the counter-attack, and that's why there's no coincidence with scoring goals. So five bookings, I mean, it's a lot at this stage of the season. I think Winks is on four, so he's going to get another one soon. But I've struggled to be won over by Vestergaard. He's played well, but it's not like earth-shattering performances at this level. He's just been fairly solid, and I feel like the reaction is because it's Vestergaard. You know, if Fez was playing like Vestergaard had, there wouldn't be a great surprise, because Fez is a better player. And to be honest, Fez looks like he's in second gear. I don't think I've seen him sprint in this league. So, yeah, Cody's going to come in, and I fully expect Cody will do the same. And I think Cody probably will bring more to the table. But it'll be interesting to see what Enzo does, because Vestergaard has been very good this season. And whether he thinks that Cody is an improvement or whether he goes straight back to Vestergaard. But like you were just alluding to, the strength and depth at this level is obscene. And I've seen teams moaning about it, but we shouldn't fucking be in this league, to be honest. We were in Europe the year before. So, you know, like you say, Doyle's out for 3 months. We're bringing in James Justin, who wasn't long ago. He was playing for England at senior level. So the strength in depth is obscene, but it should well be.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about James Justin with these games coming thick and fast and having no real kind of alternative in those fullback positions. It'll be interesting to see if Enzo fully trusts Justin's body to keep on going, or if there's a plan in place, but we'll see. But yeah, Jordan, I agree, you know, with you on Yannick, that I do struggle to get too excited and not excited, but too kind of full of praise for the guy. Yes, he is playing well. Yes, he's doing a good job. Yes, he appears to be happy, and the players seem okay with him very much being in that team. So that's fine. Do you know what I mean? I'm not ever going to boo the guy. I'm not going to kind of go over the top. But yeah, I would still lose no sleep whatsoever if he was to lose his place or to leave the football club because of, you know, the preceding years that we've had from him. So yeah, I do think it is an interesting one. Rick, I wanted to talk more about, unless you want to add something on Yannick Vestergaard, but Jamie Vardy, but is there something you want to add on Yannick?
I'm probably going to be a bit hypocritical considering how much I vilify the player. I think you're both downplaying how well he's done for us we don't know, because we don't know if another defender would have slotted in, if there would have been any difference in the results. But I think he's been unbelievable in recent games. Again, since the international break, I feel like collectively as a team, we've played a lot stronger opposition, or on paper they look stronger, and we've blown most of them away.
I thought he was man of the match in the Southampton game. I said if it wasn't for Mabedidi, I thought he was outstanding in that game.
Yeah, I did. I think what will become clear is if he does drop out, which he obviously will do on Wednesday, but let's say he drops out for a few games, because naturally Cody is, you know, supposed to be captain in waiting. If he does drop out and we suffer more so, then we can probably say, well, actually, he's done a lot better than we're perhaps giving him credit for. And then Maresca's got a problem. It's hard to know just how good he's been, because somebody else could slot in, and collectively the team's just so strong. But yeah, I mean, give credit where credit's due. I think he's done well. I didn't expect it from him. I really thought that he was going to be, you know, pound for pound, one of the worst signings we've made. It is a drop down in class, but you can only play and beat what's in front of you, and he's comfortably playing well. You know, he is good on the ball. I don't think I gave it credit enough for how good he was on the ball, but he does punch that ball through the lines quite well, whether that's into Winks who turns, or even past that. So right now I loathe to change anything. You know, I'm as positive as I've probably ever been as a Leicester fan, which is nosebleed territory. And I'm, you know, probably perversely want something unsavoury to happen so I can get back to me bread and butter. But I don't know. I'm a bit, I can't keep sort of dismissing him, if you know what I mean. I'd just call it as I see it. He's doing well. If we can get a year out of him where he does that and gets us back up and we shake hands and he goes back to the level he thinks he's going to be at, or, you know, whatever. But yeah, on to Vardy, stonking finish. As George said, you know, that was a great pass from Ndidi. That's the sort of ball you want in first time, no messing, and then see what happens. It required a very good first touch onto his left foot and bang. But he's in fine fettle, isn't he? He has these little spells, and he has done for years. And I just hope now that Maresca finds that balance between rotating him but also keep getting him whilst he's in this rich vein of form, because he could easily score, you know, 6, 7, 8 goals on the spin now. Just keep at it and keep him, because you know he's always got an injury in him in his latter years. And yeah, he's just brilliant. And like we said last week, where we got all a bit emotional, it is such a privilege to watch any renaissance from him, because he's the best player we'll ever see. Whether that's technically, the story, the achievements, it's just everything. And oh, it's, yeah, we deserve this after last year. And it was never, you know, on paper, doing what we're doing should be happening. As George says, we shouldn't be at this level. But I wouldn't have been surprised if we didn't apply ourselves well this season and we would have been a car crash. So hats off to everyone involved in the club at the minute, because whatever they're doing, they've realised the gravity of the situation and they're all pulling together and the quality's telling. But, yeah, let's just keep at it and be relentless, because, you know, this league is ridiculous. You only have to look at some of the scores and, you know, Leeds supposedly being back and the best team in the league or whatever, and they've been embarrassed again. So we've got to make sure that's not us.
It's funny though, you know, Rick, because last season when it wasn't going obviously particularly well, when you're getting ready to do each podcast and thinking, oh, here we go again, what we, you know, how are we going to dress this one up and, you know, make some kind of light out of, you know, a shit situation. And, you know, the first question always to you was how are you? And you'd reel off all the things that were wrong with you. It's a bit weird, isn't it? You know, 9 games in and saying, oh, we've won again and again. And trying to find something to talk about, but it's actually quite a weird feeling. A nice one though, but peculiar.
Well, yeah, and in all seriousness, have any of us four had IBS recently? I know George had the shits the other week, but I think that was illness.
Mine's been terrible, mate.
Oh, that's it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just maybe the football's good fortune for me at the minute. But I've had my first solid poo since I've been about 7 in the last few weeks. So.
Lovely. this is always the awkward thing where I have to then move on the conversation from Rick talking about his shits. Jack, let's talk about Jamie Vardy, because we actually did have this conversation. We can basically have the same one as what we had over dinner the other night, and talking about him scoring these goals. And, you know, trigger warning, kind of that tearful conversation again,
cry, aren't I?
About Vardy. No, because people said the same thing last week. So I weren't ready for that, to hear that about Vardy. But look, you know, it is a similar thing. I do want to say again that, you know, you see the goal, which is outstanding. It is. And you can't kind of highlight enough the quality involved in the touch and the finish. And then obviously it's right in front of the Blackburn fans. A slightly different celebration this time around. I don't quite fully understand the call me celebration, but I love it nevertheless, because it rattled them. But we'll say it just feels like this is a guy who is celebrating every goal now more than he's ever celebrated any goal beforehand. And he celebrated them pretty well before, but now he's just ramping it up a notch. And, you know, we'll say, and I agree, I think irrespective of what happens this year, this will be his last season.
It does feel like it, doesn't it? Which is a bit sad, but, you know, if the season goes the way we want it to go, then that'll be, you know, a really good way to bow out. It's just so enjoyable seeing him strut round and score goals like he's scoring goals. There's just, you know, when he wasn't scoring goals, he just doesn't have that same sort of energy about him. But The volley that he hits the bar was outrageous. Yeah, I mean, if that had gone in, that would have been sensational. And it's a really good goal on his left foot. Funny enough, that's the sort of goal he used to score for us, sort of, I think, in when we were back in the Championship last time, he used to score goals like that. I mean, he scored goals like that the whole way he's been here, really. But yeah, it's just so satisfying. He's bowing when he's going off the pitch. He's just... it's just tremendous. I was saying to Mum when I was walking back from the marathon, like, Vardy is responsible for some of the greatest moments of my life, which is probably not the wisest thing to say to my wife at that point. she did get it eventually when I was trying to summarise it. But yeah, it's just phenomenal, isn't it? And just enjoy every moment that we've where he's playing like that. The celebration is, I thought, because isn't that a thing with like away fans that they like, I've seen a video of someone putting their phone number up and being like, call me so they can have a scrap outside. I thought that might have been a reference to that.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know whether that is a thing or I've just imagined that, but I have seen people do that, like put their number up so people can call them to then meet outside and have a scrap. I don't know. I may have just made
that up. One footballer that would genuinely give out their number for a scrap, it would be Vardy, I reckon.
We're not condoning violence before the
but no, way, no, no, but okay. I'm just saying, he's, yeah, I can imagine him doing that, and yeah.
I want to talk about the rest of the league shortly. And
talk about Russell Martin.
I mean, it was a masterclass, obviously.
Sexy football's back in town at St Mary's.
And I also want to talk about VAR and obviously what's happened this week.
Don't ruin it.
No, I mean, it's quite funny, actually. I find it quite funny. I'm going to have to talk about it tonight when I go back into work. And, yeah, the whole Liverpool furore I found really quite amusing. Is there anything you want to talk about the Blackburn game? Or should we play Who Are You and then do some other stuff? I know there's lots to pick at in terms of individuals. But
what happened to that goalkeeper? Did he get injured?
He got injured when Vardy... I was saying, actually, so KDH played a wonderful pass, which will anger Jack.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable about this, all this binging up KDH, I'll be honest.
It was a wonderful pass. Vardy raced through again. He actually just took a bit of a heavy touch and went wide. But I was saying, Vardy never, ever comes off worse in those situations.
He's made a granite, isn't he? He's just made a granite.
He's barely 6 foot, is he?
It's 5'11", I think.
I
think that's what his Wikipedia says.
I mean, I know he's got you'd say he's got a low centre of gravity, but the amount of times you see him barge players off the ball and fly into tackles. And there was one a couple of years ago that I remember. And I'm pretty sure he legged it about 40 yards horizontally to the touchline. And he flew in and just blocked a clip up the line from a fullback and it went out for a throw-in. And everyone in the ground was going mad.
Oh, what game was that?
Yeah. You think that you don't see that anymore in the game at all.
He did one against Wolves and got it wrong and got sent off.
There was the one against Swansea with Ashley Williams, do you remember, when he pushed Mahrez and then went and got Ashley Williams back. But no, I know, Jordan, I do know the one, but I can't remember what it was, but it was brilliant.
Do you remember the one with Diego Costa where he flew into a tackle, Costa tries to go at him and realises Vardy goes back at him and Costa starts running away being like, I wasn't expecting that.
And he got did he get Samir Nasri sent off against Sevilla? I mean,
so good.
I obviously missed last week and it was quite nice to actually listen to you guys eulogise about Vardy. And I always feel like with players that when they're still playing, you still can't fathom it now. So when he's retired, it might start to sink in. But I think there's a difference. I think Mahrez is the best player I've ever seen for Leicester, but Vardy's the greatest.
Yeah.
And there's just something so satisfying about him. Like, he should have got sent off a lot more times for us than he has somehow. But in this day and age, I know we love Andy King, but Vardy's story is just like no other footballer ever. And for him to stay at the football club, even after, I'm not saying that he's too big, to play in the championship, but for him to stay still, and I'd like to think the conversations that were along the lines is, no, I'm going to get you back up. I'd like to think that's what it is. I mean, he would have had offers from, Premier League giants like Fulham and Luton, and he chose to stay. People say, well, he turned Arsenal down, and he did. We've won the league more easily than Arsenal. We've won the cup more easily than Arsenal. And I know they're flying now, but he won't regret it whatsoever. And yeah, I don't think it'll be until he retires that we realise. And I'd like to think he's been listening to the pod because he's scored two and come up with two bizarre celebrations recently. So if he does listen, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah, keep him coming. Keep him coming. Right, shall I do some Who Are You? Yeah? Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right then, so I am back in charge for this week's Who Are You? I was going to say the controversy of last week. So I just remembered.
Oh.
I think it was Jake. And yes. I also think I'd have got it because it was a tapping.
No, you wouldn't have.
I don't think it was controversial. I think Jake won as well.
Oh, okay.
So I was just annoyed about it.
You want some podcast the speed. Again.
Jack. Jack, is there any ground rules you want to lay out before this game? Just because first time we're all four of us playing.
You're banned for prattling about. For
No. So after last week's controversy, whether Jack you're happy with it or not, there was talk on Twitter about needing some actual rules in terms of clarification.
Well, I've been campaigning for this for a very long time,
so I haven't got the tweets in front of me because it was a little while ago. Well, an entire week.
We have buzzers. we should have buzzers, and we have to buzz in one guess right. per round.
I think the buzz is difficult because we're all obviously somewhere else on different internets and we can't really raise hands. But one suggestion which I saw and I liked and is easy to implement is that we're only allowed one guess per clue. So, you know, if I were to say they played this X amount of times for this club between those years, you can't bash out four guesses. So as soon as you've done one guess and you're wrong, you're frozen out until we give another guess. Okay?
I don't like that.
I like that a lot. I think it's a very good suggestion.
Right. No, you're a serial. You're a scattergun suggester.
Jordan, what do you think? Is that fair, though?
I think it's fair, but also, you know, Rick's a bit of a maverick. You know, someone who's influencing that way of thinking, someone who's done that to the system.
Just all of these, you're just putting constraints in place because I keep making a mockery of you. But what happens if... So if I guess and don't get it,
yeah.
What happens? Like, what happens if you have a guess, you don't get it. Someone else has a guess, they don't get it.
Next clue. Next clue, then.
Yeah, you all basically get one guess per clue.
I'm going to go last and wait
20 minutes for each clue. That's going to be the longest episode ever.
And if you've got no guess, then you just move on to the next clue. Yeah.
Let's see. If it gets a bit turgid, we'll relinquish this. Nonsense.
Nah. Let's.
No, we won't. So it is
the first to shout out wins. Think.
So this is the first trial. Then you can still get the first shout.
Well, join the confidence, Jordan. I think Jordan's going to get this one.
Right. Okay then.
Rick's lost it. He's gone on the head already. I can tell. He's got a very furrowed.
You know what happens when I get angry?
Yeah, used to. It's right. Right, I'll be honest, I'm surprised that this player hasn't been on Who Are You before, and I hope I haven't done a Tony Warner and recycled.
I think that's a two-game ban if you do that.
I was pleased to see the chaos last week because I wasn't involved, so it's proof it's not just me.
Right then, first clue. I was born on the 21st of February 1991, which makes me 32 years old.
George Taft.
Incorrect.
I'm frozen out now.
You are frozen, Jordan, until the next clue or somebody else gets it right. Rick, Jack, anything? Or should I give you next clue?
No, I get next clue.
Yeah, next clue.
Played for Leicester City in the year 2017 and it was a loan deal.
Can I have a guess, please?
Yes.
Dragovic.
No. Rick, you are allowed to... Jordan, get... Yeah. Rick, you're allowed to guess.
Mola Waig.
Oh, no, he's got it.
He's got it, hasn't he?
Yes. Oh, never mind. It was fun, wasn't it? New rules next week. Rick can't guess for the first two rounds. I was trying to be really vague with the first few,
That's just luck, that is.
Why did you say it was on loan? It was too obvious. We didn't loan many players at that time.
Well, I had to give something. I couldn't just say you played in 2017.
Vindicated.
Oh,
Dragovic is 32 and we loaned him in 2017.
It's a decent guess, that, to be fair, pal. I thought you got it.
It was Dragovic, wasn't it?
yes. Sorry, Rich.
It was Dragovic.
Jack, you can have half a point because you were technically, it could have been Dragovic.
No, I think the birth date was probably slightly out, but.
Oh, yeah. I gave the birth.
Apart from that, it was a bloody good guess.
See, it's really Didn't he score against us when he went to Watford?
No, for Forest. Was it not for Forest? Forest. To score against?
No, Watford.
Yeah. No, it was Watford.
Watford, because he was Udinese.
All right, but he did play for Forest as well. He did play for Forest as well.
Did he even play for us, though? Did he actually make an appearance?
Yeah, he played Millwall away in that game.
Yeah.
Millwall.
He got injured in that game, didn't he?
Got injured and didn't play again.
Yeah.
Was that it? And he made one appearance?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Literally never heard of him again. And currently, despite the fact he's only 32, is unattached. So not even last season, the season before last, he was playing for a team called Serang, who I'd never heard of, Belgium second division. So he's only 32 and hasn't played any professional football, according to Wikipedia, for 2 years. But he did play for Watford. And did go to Forest as well before going back to Ligue 1. Did actually play some football just for whatever reason. Yeah, just one of the most bizarre football spells in my lifetime when he signed for Leicester on deadline day was probably 54th choice defender. Well, that came in, played once, was bad, got injured, and we never saw him again.
He was that first window where we really started to get really despondent when it got to deadline day with us. I think we've had a number of them since then, where he just, you're like, is that it? We've then had a number of them since then.
Ryan Bennett.
Remember when we nearly got Chiloba? We were told Rodgers had said we were in for an attacking midfielder for about 2 weeks. We're like, here we go. And then deadline day, we were told it was Chiloba, or however you pronounce it.
That sums up our recruitment in the last few years, that we were going for Champions League football when we signed a player that Wolves didn't want.
Well, we were going to sign that the Turkish centre-half, whose name is Demiral, at the start of the window. Yeah. And then we signed Ryan Bennett at the end of the window.
that's some drop-off, isn't it?
We could have signed Bowen in that window as well.
Mm.
Oh, happy memories. So, I think that trial for the clues worked for me. So I think we give it a go.
Again. Jordan was the other thing as well. Jordan was about to get it as well. So that's
Which, Jake said it was Rick's turn when technically I was back in the game, so it could have been my turn.
Yeah,
just got to really guess.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, that's.
should we replay it then?
That's disappointing, you, Jack. Actually, is that? Because Jordan wasn't given a fair shot at that.
Right. Well, what I think you need to do is
that's not fair. I hadn't even realised that.
You need to.
Can we do it again? But can you do Dragovic and then we'll just cut it out and then we'll put it back in?
He still won't get it.
You need to write a strongly worded letter to the PGMOL and ask for the game to be replayed. This is me swiftly moving on to just like Liverpool have done. Jordan. So it all booted off, didn't it, in the week. Liverpool against Spurs. Liverpool did have a goal incorrectly ruled out. And the strange thing or unique thing about this is Liverpool are the first team ever to have been hard done by VAR. So they're now demanding that for the first time ever they replay a game because they got a bad decision. It's quite nice, isn't it, in the Championship, not having VAR? And I genuinely mean that. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I said the other week that, I'm going to have to start enjoying it sooner or later. But when the ball hits the net, it's a goal. And that's how it should be. And I have been vehemently against VAR since day one. It's shit. And, the officials are shit. But so is the system. And people who are defending it use the argument, well, it's not the technology, it's the people that use it. It's both. They're both out of their depth. And if the officials can't make the decision with VAR, then what is the point in it? If we take that game in isolation, the Curtis Jones decision, I thought was a red card.
Yeah,
and same. People are saying,
because they've appealed that as well, or they're considering appealing it.
People are saying, you know, he didn't mean it, and you know, he went over the ball. Yeah, that's all correct, but you can't put six studs in someone's shin like that. I mean, he was lucky he didn't break his leg, so that was a red. Then the Jota one, I mean, he's unlucky, but by the letter of the law, it's a booking, the first one. Now, I've heard Liverpool fans are moaning that the lad he fouled was waving an imaginary card, so he should have been sent off for a second booking. I mean, I think you're clutching at straws a little bit there. And the second Jota one is a booking. But that offside, right, and I agree with you, Jake, that, look, I think the season we missed out in Champions League, I'm pretty sure we had something like five handballs in their box that weren't given on VAR. So they're not the only team to be hard done by. But watching that live, how can I see it sat in my living room? And I mean, there's probably thousands of other people who are watching it in the pub who have had a few beers that can see that split second, that's not offside. You don't need a replay to see that that's not offside.
Yeah.
And the reason that they've come out with it is a farce. And what's more of a farce is that we've got him now. So yes. he's not good enough to officiate in the Premier League. So we'll fucking give him the Championship, and Leicester can deal with him now.
So the guy who was on VAR for that game is managing our refereeing our game Wednesday, right?
Yeah, which is absolutely criminal. He shouldn't be officiating in professional football for a month. He should be taken out of the spotlight.
2-game ban.
So yeah, we should rightfully enjoy no VAR the way football was intended. And look, I've said all along, like I say, I vehemently was a hater of VAR. I can live with, and I dare say Liverpool fans can live with that linesman making a mistake, flagging him offside. But there's literally no excuse when you're watching it back to get that wrong. They haven't got a get out now for making bad decisions. So if VAR still doesn't work, then fuck it off, because it's no good. And another thing that really annoyed me was Alan Shearer, who said on Match of the Day that, well, offside was the only thing that VAR you can't argue with. You can, because some of the places they've drawn the lines, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch. It is literally like they're making it up as they go along. Like, oh, shall we award this one? Shall we rule this one out? He's offside because his boots are size 9.5, but he's onside because his boots are size 9. And they're drawing up people's toenails and armpits and the handball rule. They haven't got a fucking clue what they're doing with that on VAR. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. And if not, just keep us in the Championship and we'll keep winning it year after year, because, yeah, we should rightfully enjoy not having it.
I hate it. I do. It was interesting as well, Jack, because I was watching the highlights on the EFL show and Southampton's game. And I'm not sure if anyone else noticed it, but Adam Armstrong's first goal, they do the replay. He's offside but you're talking millimetres in the sense of if that was VAR, he would have been called offside. But in the moment of that game, nobody questions it, scores a goal. Nobody talks about it afterwards because he's not massively offside. We're not talking like he's a yard off. You're talking like a shoulder. But that's kind of how football should be. And I just love the fact that those conversations just don't even happen in the Championship. No one's looking. No one's drawing the lines across. It's just so refreshing. I know that the reality is the most likely scenario is we get promoted and VAR still exists next season. But in a lovely world, we get promoted and they sack it and scrap the whole thing.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Because you're right. No VAR is phenomenal. And I just wanted to say something just on Liverpool specifically, that it was really funny it happened to them.
Yes.
They were fucking pain in the ass last Wednesday. Whoever was commentating on that game was unbelievably biased. It did turn out that he was a Liverpool fan, but he could have done a better job hiding it. And I mean, they were a better side than us, but the ref was appalling as well. It's bad. VAR is bad. It doesn't eliminate any of the controversy from the game, which it was designed to do. Brian's Gunn have actually done a phenomenal... that is my favourite Twitter account, by the way, Brian's Gunn. They've done a phenomenal thing on VAR of people just contradicting themselves. Unfortunately, I've not been recorded saying stuff on VAR back when I thought it was a good idea, so I can't be contradicted on it. But yeah, it was meant to eliminate controversy. It can't. People are still making bad decisions, so I don't really see the point of it until you can get some technology that can detect whether people are offside. I don't really see the point in it. But Championship's great without it. And like you say, mistakes happen, but you can forgive someone in the moment for making a bad mistake. You can't really forgive them when they've got time to, and they're still making those decisions. So yeah, suck it off. It's way better without it. You can actually celebrate a goal, which is the best thing in football, and you can't do that in the Premier League. So you have like this celebration and you're like, oh, I've got to wait. And then it goes to the kickoff, and then it's like the moment's gone.
Yeah, so I think that happened in the Villa game of the four goals they scored. But I think three of them went to VAR, to the point that they're all back in their halves waiting to go again, but still waiting for the goal to get awarded. I'm thinking, for God's sake,
it's like, rubbish.
Can you not see how this is just ruining it for everyone? Like, well, you either think it's a goal or you don't. Just, get on with it.
On TV, it should be slightly better, and there is a way of doing it where you can sort of plug in the audio or whatever. But as a match going fan, it's so crap. Poor for your experience. So, I mean, they never make decisions based on match going fans. They just base it on people watching all over the world rather than the ones that go week in, week out. So they won't change it. But, if they did actually change it, it would be better for a lot of the people going every week and spending their money, which would be a good thing.
Rick, anything to add on VAR?
Yeah, yeah? Shit.
Yeah.
No. It really is. Like, it shouldn't be this bad. They should have been able to simplify certain rules, offside being one of them. Whether they all wear goal line technology in their bloody kit, I don't know, or they all take truth serum, so, and they're asked whether they're offside or not, and then that decides it. But it's bullshit, and I mean, we haven't been on the end of a catastrophic decision yet this season. I'm sure we will be, and it will be annoying. I saw the highlights of the COF QPR game this weekend, and QPR should have had the most blatant penalty I've ever seen. The goalkeeper wipes out their attacker, and the ref just goes, play on. And the genuine, like, it is, they're doing their nut. It's funny, but not funny. But it's honest, it's not. That wasn't not corruption. It was, in the moment, I think the player had stepped across the view of the ref, and he just made the wrong call. But you can get behind that sort of injustice as well. You can't with VAR, because it's just nonsensical.
Well, Brentford should have had a penalty for a similar thing yesterday. Oh. That's a penalty. What I don't get is how can the regular match-going fan see that, and someone who is paid professionally not see that? I just don't. The only thing I can say is they've never played the game at any level, even on a knockabout on the park. Mm. And the thing that really irks me is these offside decisions. Or, well, you can relate it to any decisions. Look at the players on the pitch who are playing. If the back four has stood up with their arm up like Arsenal used to be, appealing for offside, they know he's offside. They think he's offside. Whereas half these goals that get ruled out, like you say, Jake, the both sets of players are ready to kick off. They think it's a goal. Get on with it. They're not bothered.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. So anyway, we'll see. But can we all be in agreement that if it was to happen to anyone, we're okay with it happening to Liverpool?
Yeah. I actually think that sort of makes the whole discussion actually pointless, because it's happened to them. So it's quite funny.
Jota getting sent off. Yes. Oh,
Jota really pissed me off on Wednesday as well.
I
wanted Chowdhury. Don't condone violence, but if Chowdhury had turned around and battered him, that would have been. He's such a prat.
Yeah, he would have turned a blind eye to it. Yeah,
and he's not won that much more as well. Chowdhury, so I don't know why he was giving it the big in.
Yeah, I know. Right, Jack, the top five championship rated players so far this season. Who did this poll?
Fucking hell.
Who? All right, I'll do it. Where was the poll from?
This is from the second tier.
Oh, was it second tier pod? Yeah, was it?
It was.
Was it done on their voting or just their opinion?
Well, I think the just ratings are voting someone else, but they did like a vote on who's the best player in the championship.
I mean, lads, they did do another clip about Leicester today, and we're incredibly complimentary. So, whatever B you may have in the bonnet.
Oh, they want to be friends now, do they?
Let it slide. But anyway, so the top five players, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong here, were Norwich's Gabriel Sara, Sunderland's Jack Clark, Leicester's Kieran and Dewsbury Hall, Plymouth, Morgan Whittaker, and who was the other one?
I think it was only four.
Was it four? Right, yeah, well, I've remembered all four. So, I mean, we can talk about the four. I mean, I think that Jack Clark's been brilliant for Sunderland. Morgan Whittaker, very, very good for Plymouth. Kind of bizarre that Swansea sold him for just £1 million. Gabriel Sara, I think he was on the whoscored.com ratings that he's the highest rated player so far in the Championship. And I think, you know,
well, you watched a lot of Norwich, you can tell us, can't you?
Well, I was going to say, for anyone who watched the Leicester Norwich game, I'll say that it was Norwich's best player. But more so, the conversation around Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. It is a strange one, because I know that Jack isn't his favourite player in the world, but he is a player that at the moment is incredibly effective in terms of now adding goals and assists to his game. To me,
it's only the second game he scored in this season.
I think he's got 3 goals and 3 assists, or 2 goals and 3 assists.
Yeah, he's played a couple of good passes.
Yeah, but in recent weeks, the numbers and the end product is coming, and his performances have been good. But point being is what I actually mentioned to you, Jack, last night, was that there appears to be, like, if you step outside the Leicester bubble, the fans who watch the Championship, or Championship football fans, who think that Kieran Dewsbury-Hall is the best thing since, you know, sliced bread. Then you got a portion of the Leicester fans who are just not having him for one reason or another. And I said that actually the reality is, as is often the case, it's somewhere in the middle in terms of actually how good he is as a footballer. But George, what have you made of Kieran, and kind of where do you sit in all this? Because I've been really impressed with him. And, you know, to be kind of clear, I always have been a supporter and fan of Kieran. But I think he's kind of really growing into now a leader, and almost like a kind of a linchpin of this side. And I think long term, this season's going to do him so much good.
Yeah, I'm in your camp. I feel like Jack's vendetta against Kieran is similar to mine with Cal, probably worse.
I'm not sure about that.
No, absolutely not.
It's going to take some doing. Although I did see you liked the Leicester post of the picture of Kel at the weekend.
Of course he bloody did. He scored.
I like Kel as a man. I like Kel.
Okay. But anyway, Kieran, let's leave that this week.
But yeah, was it nine league games, 3 goals, 3 assists is pretty decent. And if he continues posting those sort of numbers, then he'd probably be well on the way to our Player of the Year, if not the Championship Player of the Year. And you would have thought he would be in the 11, the EFL 11 by the end of the season. But I like him. My only complaint, and a couple of times it happened again on Sunday, which I think is really preventing him from kicking on to that next level, is just his decision-making. Sometimes he holds onto the ball for too long, takes too many touches, and then the attack fizzles out, or the angle for the pass isn't on. And it might be a bit of an odd comparison, but the same thing used to drive me mad with Grealish. And obviously he was at Villa, the whole team was built around him. He used to take so many touches, and there was the stat about Grealish getting fouled so much. Well, yeah, because he was greedy. And now he's at Man City and he's got a proper coach and actually a squad of players around him. He takes less touches on the ball, same with England, and he's a much more effective player. And I think that's what Dewsbury-Hall really needs. And you've seen Southampton, Norwich and Blackburn away. He's played 2 of 3 wonderful through the eye of a needle passes. And we know he's got that. We know he can carry the ball 30, 40 yards up the pitch. And we know he's got great energy off the ball. And, you know, I think for all his criticisms, if you look at our team last year, and Didi in the holding role was way off what he's capable of. Tielemans can't move. And quite amusingly, Aston Villa fans have now found that out. And the less said about Maddison's off the ball contributions, the better. And, you know, you can't knock someone like Dewsbury-Hall, who's got that physicality, that energy to get up and down off the ball. And like you said, Jake, I think this season's going to be a blessing in disguise for him because, you know, he came through fairly late. I think he's 6 months younger than Yuri. So if you compare what the two have achieved in their career, he has come through late. But academy graduate, you know, and again with Hamza, academy graduate, come through the system. And Hamza, for all the criticism I've given him previously, I think I've been really impressed with him this season. it's good to have that in the team. It's really important. And I think he is going to be well on the way to propelling them straight back to the Premier League. And hopefully he takes that confidence into next season, because I think he is a Premier League player. And I think he's a top half Premier League player in glimpses, but he's just doing that more regularly. And I think Jack doesn't like him because he lives too close to Nottinghamshire.
There we are. Nail on the head, right, Jack? That's it, right?
He was born in Nottingham as well.
Actually. What, like you?
Well, yeah, but I mean, Jay, I could not be clearer about my attitude towards that place. So I don't see how that's an issue. Right, I need to set the record straight on this, because otherwise I'm going to get some abuse from some quarters. I think he's a good player. At this level, he's a very good player. The bit that annoys me, two bits annoy me. One, his first touch sometimes really lets him down. And secondly, I think his consistency. I mean, I know you're talking about his stats there. I mean, I'll go back to the original point after this as well. Last couple of, he was good against Southampton, and he was good against Blackburn. Didn't think he was particularly good against Bristol City. It was bouncing off him. It wasn't quite happening for him. A lot of our attacks broke down because of him. I think it's his consistency. And the bit I get really frustrated at is the sort of bigging up of him as if he is, you know, without question, far too good for this league. And I'm like, I don't see that. I see a player who's decent at this level. I don't think it's obvious that he is far too good for this league. And some of the narrative around him is like, oh, the best players ever played in the Championship. It's like, oh, sorry, like Mahrez played at this level for us. Like, he's nowhere near that level. So I think that's where I get a bit frustrated. Sorry?
Sorry, do you think that's from our fans? I feel like that's from...
No, and I think this is where almost Jake was getting at. The narrative outside the club seems to rate him at a far higher level than the people that watch him week in, week out. And I mean, to go back to your original list, I don't think Kinnan's been our best player this year. I think probably it's, if I was to choose one, I would say Winks, just because he's been so consistent and everything goes for him. But he doesn't seem to get any credit whatsoever, Winks. He's never got a man of the match. He's never got anything. And I mean, he's barely given the ball away. So yeah, I mean, just, you know, playing up to my role of being perma-rattled, I think he's a good player, but I think he's still got a lot to prove. I mean, he scored on it was a lovely little finish on Sunday, but he's still not scored that many goals for us. I think that's now six or seven, and if you think like McAteer's got five already for us, so he's, you know, I think for an attacking midfielder, he still needs to work on his consistency. And I think, yeah, the bit I get irritated is the sort of the narrative that's coming from outside the club, that he's just this sort of, he's going to walk it in the Championship, and I currently don't see him walking it. So yeah,
but does he have to be scoring goals to be, you know, is that what you're...
He has to be controlling the football, Jake, and not, you know, chasing his first touch around. So that would be something I'd like to see a little bit more of.
But you get my point, because we are talking lots about goals and assists. That isn't really what he would, you know, as Jordan has just pointed out, when he was in the Championship with Luton, he was their best player every single week and one of the best players in the league. I only scored a handful of goals. You know, you can be an outstanding footballer or the best player in a team, but not be the one scoring every week.
Well, I think for the position he's playing, he does need... I mean, he should be getting double figures at least this year.
I think he will, won't he?
Well, he's going the right way, but I mean, the most he's managed in any season, I think, is three, and he's 25. So he's got work on that. I mean, it's going well, but it's not done till it's done, is it? I mean, and again, we're saying he was the best player at Luton every week. I think he won the end of season award, but I'm sure, you know, if we spoke to Luton fans, there might be a little bit more to it.
No, they'd tell you literally the Luton admin renamed them.
I've watched Luton play this season as well. I think they'd be impressed by anything, to be honest. But
they literally renamed the Man of the Match award the Kieran Dewsbury Hall Award. He was Man of the Match every week, genuinely.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
But anyway, okay. Reserving for now, but he's going in the right direction.
He's been better in the last few weeks. After the first game of the season, he was brilliant for about 20 minutes in that game. He was really poor for 70 minutes. I thought he was really quiet for a few games. And then since Southampton, he's been generally better.
Yeah. I think. Okay. Rick, anything you'd like to add on Kiernan, or do you want to move on subject?
I'm somewhere between the two camps. I do rate him. I think at this level, he is very good. I feel like what we've seen from him so far, I almost expect that, or if not a little bit more. For a player who's been billed, he's going to be the best player in the league. Then what the output we've seen so far, that's about par for the course, and I want a bit more. He has been brilliant. You know, his metrics, and I know stats are misleading, he is in the top 7th percentile in nearly every aspect. So he's one of those players that's covering a lot of, the important parts of being a progressive midfielder. Good. Long may that continue. And I think the only thing really, his attitude, he doesn't seem like he's enjoying himself. Now, he used to. When he first came in the team, he had a bit of a steely determination about him, but he also seemed to, I don't know. Maybe I'm being really harsh on him in that regard. But if he thinks that he's above this level or that he's not enjoying himself, you know, each to their own. But right now, you know, I like what I'm seeing from him. I think he's been, you know, he's been one of our best players. He's not been the best. I agree with Jack. Winks has been phenomenal. And, you know, I've had to apologise profusely about that because I didn't necessarily get it at the point when we signed him, but he is so integral to this team and system. Winks probably won't get the plaudits because, you know, he doesn't score, he doesn't assist, but, you know, he's such an accomplished player. He'll step back into the Premier League and stay fit, and I think he'll be an asset to us. Hopefully Dewsbury Hall will, because he has done it in the Premier League and he's looked good. I want a bit more from him. I want him to enjoy himself. Maybe I'm being harsh.
It's strange that I've seen the difference in attitude, but the way I've interpreted it is as an arrogance, but a good type of arrogance.
Healthy arrogance.
But generally, I feel like people have told him, and he's heard the noise saying, look, you have to step up this year. This is your year. You're too good for this league. Go out and prove it. You know, you're the main man now. Madison's gone. Tielemans has gone. And I feel like he's now playing with that air of arrogance,
but I think you're right. Yeah,
like being a bit cocksure. But for me, the reality is
good type of arrogance.
Yeah.
You should see him at roast dinners, mate.
but my only
walking around with a Yorkshire pudding on his head.
It's the way that he's acting right now. He's not quite able to back up that level of arrogance in terms of his ability just yet. But that's how I'm interpreting the way he's carrying himself on the pitch at the moment.
Well, that finish yesterday was arrogance personified. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was Mahrez.
It was good. No, it was good. It was good. But when I watched it, I was like, it was like,
don't try and explain yourself. Don't try and put the record straight saying that you rate him and then dismiss that. No, it was a finishing half.
It was a nice finish. When you said it was outrageous to me, I was a bit like, I watched it and I thought, oh, that's all right. Probably should have skipped squared it, shouldn't he?
yeah.
Lucky like against Norwich.
He did well against Norwich. He did well against Norwich, yeah.
Yeah. All right then. Lads, any other business stage? Anything people want to throw in there and talk about? Yes, of course you have, Jordan.
I've got a couple.
Yeah.
But we're sticking with football. I just wanted to
ideally
dispel a myth from Jake Watson. And I put this, I don't know if you'd have seen it because you were away at the weekend, but Rick would have seen it.
I don't read the messages.
You claimed that we did have a fairly easy start, or so we thought.
Oh, okay.
Obviously we've got
Preston. I did see this. I just ignored it.
Norwich was one of our easier games in hindsight, wasn't it?
Well, Hull 5th, Cardiff 6th, Norwich 7th.
Yeah.
Southampton 10th and Bristol 11th. We've played all of them.
Yeah.
We have lost one. I can't remember what it was. I think I said we played, three of the bottom half and six of the top half so far. Mm. So perhaps our start hasn't been as easy as we thought.
I did say that before the Southampton and Norwich game, and I still do stand by the fact that I think that Rotherham, Huddersfield, Hull, Cardiff.
Hull
up there. Yeah, no, I may well be wrong about Hull. Looking at Cardiff, I know where they are at the moment, but I still think that at that point, we played Cardiff, Hull, Rotherham, Huddersfield.
I think Cardiff are all right as well. They've got more individual quality than a lot of sides we've played.
Maybe.
Bowler and Bramsey are this level.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we beat Preston, Jake, we're 7 points clear of third. We'll have played 10 games. It's October. I mean, it feels like we are going to cruise it unless there's some catastrophic injuries. But yeah, I feel like our start.
It's certainly got harder, obviously, in recent weeks for sure. But yeah, no, it was just an observation at the time. I stand by it. Anything else? Anything else you want to get off your chest, Jordan?
Well, I have got one, but I think Rick had one. And I don't want to hog the, any of the business section.
It's basically
this is
your
section. This is your section.
You go, mate. You go first.
I wonder if it's the same thing, but I saw earlier on Twitter and I couldn't believe what I was reading. I'm not a fan and I couldn't name one song, but Lester the band Easy Life.
Oh, yes, yeah. I did see
are
this.
Being sued by EasyJet, which is just...
I thought it was April Fool's, but it's October the 2nd. Like, how can they get sued for having the word easy in their name? Have they got claims on everything labelled easy?
This meant their statement was fantastic, wasn't it, as well? It said in very like less the tongue-in-cheek humour, and I rated it. But it said something along the lines of, sorry if you bought one of our gig tickets and ended up on a cheap flight to Tenerife.
So EasyJet are suing Easy Life. So Easy Life may well have to change their name. Apparently they're saying they're going to have to because they haven't got the financial power to fight the case. Absolute madness. But yeah. Rick, you mate.
So you boys may well have seen this, but we've had somebody reach out to us on our Twitter DMs. They've got a mate out in Algeria who's supposedly a cross between Adam Unas and Riyad Mahrez, and wondering whether we could do anything to get him in at Leicester. And obviously, music to my ears. Going to try our utmost to get him in touch with the powers that be. But I'm still waiting for the video so we can do the review with him. So as soon as we get it, I think we'll all four of us will review it and see what we think. And hopefully we'll sort and source a deal because, you know, you can never have enough wingers, can you? But yeah, and this could be the start for us. If we can get involved in the player recruitment side of things,
it'll finish us.
Maybe we'll have a bit of appreciation then for how hard it is instead of me gobbing off at them. But so buzzing for that. Can't wait.
Yeah. So we had a DM from someone, I presume Algerian, said he's got a friend who he thinks could play for Leicester and decided to reach out to us in our DMs, and we allowed Rick to reply
to that. You've got some hats. You've got some hats as well on the way, haven't you, Rick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a Footy Fits. He's sorting us some Leicester regalia out, and we need to wear them on the pod and review them. So, yeah, they're on the way, apparently.
Okay.
Very good.
Right. We'll
good review, actually, because we've all got different sized heads. So,
yeah. I've got a P head, remember? It's like a extra medium, large man, small head.
Extra and medium.
Yes, it's my size.
This has been a bumper episode, but there's another special on Saturday as well.
This is what mine was going to be, but go for it.
No, the floor is yours, mate. You know more than me.
No, we're going to record after the game. So, and we're currently, we've got a venue lined up. So we're going to go for beers afterwards and record it. So you'll hear the crackling of popoloms in the background, hopefully, and a few cobras. Rick's currently a bit challenged to get there, so we might have to sort of
phone him,
do a takeaway.
I'm going to be there. I'll be at the game. I'm going to be at the game with my son. But
yeah,
I know it is. It is. So, but yeah, I'll try my best.
But no, it should be good fun though. So, yeah, look forward to seeing all your lads on the weekend. But of course,
I've got the only other thing as well is the other,
oh, yes, go on,
Rick, because you right. So the women's team won and they're top of the league. Leicester won and we're top of the league. I think the under 21s won as well, which hasn't happened that often this season. They beat Fulham, who are top of the league, which is quite a good result. Yeah. And we always moan about it when they don't win, so we should give them some credit. I think the under 18s drew 3-3 after being 3-0 up.
Yeah, so just bring it back, yeah. But yeah, you're right on the under 21s winning. Good result. And Wanyamasa got another goal and he may well come back in now, mightn't
he? He's going to be back in the squad now, you would have thought.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. All positive.
And Jordan, one more.
This is a really long any other business section.
It is. I probably should have
said this at the start, but I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who donated for the Berlin Marathon the week before.
Yeah, well done, you.
I got an email from Just Giving saying I was in the top 10% of fundraisers in September. I don't know if the bar was particularly high, but it was still nice. And it couldn't have been done. You know, it was nothing to do with me. Everyone else donated. So thanks a lot. In those hard miles, that's what gets you through. So it goes to a great charity in Mind as well, who do some fantastic work. So thanks, everyone, for doing that.
All right, brilliant. Right. Dare I ask, is that everything? Are we all done?
No, I've got one more, actually.
You're taking a piss.
I think you are.
Thank you, Rick.
I was
right. Let's leave it there. Extra long episode today. As I said, we're all going to be meeting up this weekend. Hopefully, see Rick. If not, it'll be the three of us in the Curry House doing a special pod after the game against Stoke, isn't it? It is Stoke. But Preston up midweek. Thank you once again for listening. We look forward to hearing, seeing you, all the above next week. Have a good one.
Podcast Network.